So anyway, thank you very much for having me here today. I'm really excited to see you all. This is one of the more joyful things about my job that I like. I like the meeting with people and chatting with them and having the feeling of we're all in this together, and I appreciate that. Whoops, that just kind of goes out. I think the reading in particular from Gary Snyder really, really suits at least part of the talk that I'm going to give, because I just totally agree, and I'm right there with him. So a little bit about me. My parents were teachers. Well, I'll go back one more step. I live in the house I grew up in. That's very unusual, and it wasn't necessarily by choice, but I just can't get out of there, I guess. So, and it is... it's a good place to live, and I feel very grounded there, but I don't feel like it has limited me either. But I did think that I was going to live the life that my parents led. They were both teachers. I got married very young. I married a teacher. I became a teacher. And then when I was off teaching with my kids, I had this question that came to mind. I'm like, gosh, I'm making a lot of garbage, because I was using paper plates. I was using plastic diapers, and I didn't even know where my garbage went. And that was just stunning to me. And so, of course, I started, and I was a college grad. I don't know where my garbage went. So that kind of started what I was doing. I was talking about recycling, and then the library knew me well because I was a reader. And they're like, Tanya, there's somebody else who's talking about recycling. We got together, and we're like, let's start an environmental group, a very innocent, yeah, let's do that, you know. Then we got a hold of a fiery environmentalist for years. He's like, what are you doing about the landfill expansion? And then all of a sudden, I was in front of the landfill protesting on TV, on the radio, up in front of 200 people. And that's how this all began. And very interesting, considering I was a very shy, introverted person. I didn't really even like talking on the phone, so... you can, you know, your natural introvert tendencies can change. Definitely was very interested. Oops, I lost it. Sorry, I need to get my notes. Oh, there we go. Sorry about that. I write notes because I do forget things. So started Concerned Citizens of White Lake. We were involved with the landfill expansion. We wanted recycling in our area, which is very interesting because years later that becomes more relevant. Found out about pollution in the area. Found out that White Lake and Muskegon Lake were on a Great Lakes Area of Concern list, and some things had been done, but probably not everything. Just started raising my voice, was very obsessive, got hired by an environmental group similar to the one I work for now. It was called the Lake Michigan Federation, kind of an old-timey Earth Day headquarters in Chicago, and I opened an office in Muskegon, worked on sand dune protection, water quality, the areas of concern. So kind of a 360 turn, you know, to a new career. Helped to set up advisory councils for the lakes, kicked them into action. I was involved with mine for 22 years, and in 2014, we got off that list. Doesn't mean things are perfect or things are done, but we met the conditions, between the U.S. and Canadian rules for that. I got active. I got on my city council for 12 years and started a Nature Walks program. Started my own business, worked for all kinds of groups in the Great Lakes, worked on every issue from, you know, protecting the sand dunes to nuclear energy. I ran for state representative. I didn't make it, but it was a tremendous learning experience. I recommend it to everybody that I know. And then I began working for West Michigan Environmental Action Council. They're a group that I've worked with for years. I like what they do in the Grand Rapids area, and I thought I'd love to see this a little bit more structured along the lakeshore. I think it's very valuable to have a group like WEMIAC involved. So, what I do for WEMIAC right now, and given it is part-time, and I hired in several weeks before the pandemic, so everything went virtual. You know, I was one of the first guinea pigs to start using Zoom. So that was a fascinating experience. And now we do a mix of in-person and Zoom. But for me, it's very efficient to meet with folks, you know, cause for example, down from Holland by Zoom, you know. But there's definitely value to in-person meeting. And my current focus is I work with a group that I worked with Sierra Club to set up the Lakeshore Climate Action Network, groups up and down the lakeshore. We meet quarterly. I've done a number of different things. And not surprisingly, I'm heading up a huge recycling project in Muskegon County. Go figure. There have been many, many efforts, but we don't have the recycling facilities that you folks have in Ottawa County or in the Grand Rapids area. And it's just been a challenge for a long time. And, you know, the two ingredients I think you need to be successful at environmental work that I'm doing is passion and persistence, and, you know, I don't give up. So I was tasked with doing this several years ago and got it going, and I have pulled every single person to the table because I know everybody, you know. So I call them up. I'm like, we need to have you in the meetings, you know. And I have four municipalities that still have not participated, but they are on my list. We're at a very exciting stage where we're getting some additional assistance from the state. And then it will get to the point where the county actually, according to the new changes in the law, will have to be doing some additional work to make sure recycling services are available. So kind of doing a lot of work for them, but they are at the table too. And every now and then, I wouldn't see them and I would call up the county administrator who I know. I'm like, hey there, we need to have you at the table. So helps to know people and it helps to maintain those relationships. And I'm on city council again. I just decided to run. I'm on city council. And this time around, it's a lot more fun. You know, when you know the ropes. So, you know, I was kind of tasked with the question, how can we fix the earth? And I go directly to Dr. Robin Wall Kimmerer, author of Braiding Sweetgrass. There's a longer title, but it is transformative. It's one of the virtual book shacks I've done with folks. And it is one of the books that in my lifetime has changed my view of the world. And I recommend it. She has videos and you can listen to an audio, but she basically says we need to be using indigenous people's knowledge and wisdom to totally transform how we interact with nature. And she says things in nature are not it. Things in nature are our relatives. They are akin. So we have to change how we view nature. She said we need to use principles like gratitude, you know, for all of the gifts that we're given, and reciprocity. So for those things we're giving, what do we give back in return? And so that's kind of my biggest lesson from the book. And I think we have to work at all levels simultaneously, like Gary Snyder said, you know, in your daily actions. I mean, certainly we should be learning about indigenous culture and about the scientific principles that guided their actions, sustainable practices, spending time outdoors, learning about the nature in our own community. What trees do we have? What flowers? What bushes? What are the native species that support the bird, bees, and butterflies? I mean, what a cool thing to learn about in our own backyards. Community leadership. So that, to me, is part of the reciprocity by giving back to the earth. So we participate in our community, and we are examples of leaders. We have relationships in our communities. We work with others, we mobilize, and we collaborate. So daily, community, and then collective actions. You know, we need to be working at the policy advocacy level, community building at the larger level, reaching out to other communities, and helping to make that cultural shift, build larger coalitions, and, you know, a huge job of educating just to help make this cultural shift to view nature in a different way so that we can live in balance like indigenous peoples did. You know, we took many things from them, sadly, but we did not take the most important things from them, which was how they lived in harmony with nature. And it's really cool to read Kim Murer's book and find out that so many of the things that they did had a basis in science. It's just very fascinating. The other question that I was asked is, how do we take seriously something abstract and futuristic? And, you know, there is no getting around it that we are living in very challenging times, in all ways. And I think for me, and especially going back to city council I was off for 7 years, I feel like that is just such a tremendously overlooked place for people to be involved in. And I think it makes the work real and it makes the work practical. I mean, there in Muskegon County, there are three jurisdictions that have declared a climate emergency. They have acknowledged climate change, and that means that they are developing plans to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions, and they are going to be looking at mitigation. Well, mitigation is the reduction of greenhouse gas emissions, and then adaptation. How are we getting ready to withstand the impacts of climate change? And, you know, are we even looking at, you know, the issue of climate refugees? Are we going to be experiencing more people in the community? We actually are going to be, MDOT is going to be fixing the bridge between Whitehall and Montague. And if you want to read more about Whitehall and Montague, there's a 2-volume book written by a historian, a local historian, about the rivalry between the two cities. Just, you know, listen. I helped him edit it. It goes back a long time. But so that bridge is going to be repaired, and guess what? They did not, when they did this, maybe 25 years ago, they did not do it with climate change in mind, and we get flooded out. And so all of our infrastructure, we're going to be looking at, you know, how do we build things so that we, you know, that we can withstand the impacts. There's just so much that can be done to adapt to the new reality that we are seeing now. What I do often is I encourage people to attend local government meetings. Everybody in the city of Whitehall, we have slightly under 3,000 people, are no more than a mile away from City Hall. And guess how many people normally attend? Yeah. If there's an issue, it might be a full house, and they come pretty angry. But if not, I'm almost positive that in all my 12 years, we did not have a single person come to our budget hearing, our annual budget hearing. You know, that's a big deal, you know. So I encourage people to come because you can make a difference, and I give tips on it. In fact, my son works full-time, has 3 kids, 6. Oh, wait, did he turn just 7? we'll go with 6. 6. 8, 10, 12, sorry. The pandemic brain, you know. And he just said, I just feel like I want to do something, but, you know, what do I do now when I'm working full-time and I'm trying to take care of the kids with my wife, you know? And I said, here is what I will recommend to you, and I recommend everybody if they're not doing it. Go to one of your government meetings a month. Make a commitment to be there and just go and sit. It's okay. I mean, don't glare. We do have people who come and glare, and they do glare at me, you know. And you know, don't sit there acting weird, because then people up there will think, what are you doing here, you know. But just sit and maybe smile, and you don't even have to say anything. People are just very, very scared of public speaking. I get so many people who, no, I couldn't do that. And if I can do it, you know, as the most shy person in my class, I think anybody can. So just go to one government meeting. Make a commitment. And you know what? I think it will make you feel better. Because at the very least, you will see that there are good things happening. Not everything in government is bad. And you will feel good to see that there are people showing up to get good things going in your community. There may be some things that you disagree with as well, of course. And then I told my son, because he just asked me this the other night. I said, well, you know, after a while, if you feel like it, make a sincere compliment. Because you know what? We don't often get that. It is a thankless job. Make a sincere compliment, you know. And then I said, after that, they may end up appointing you to something. And that is the truth, because people who show up make the decisions. And I've seen it happen. There was a guy who ran when I ran. He didn't make it, but guess what? He showed up to planning. He showed up to every city council meeting. He had his notebook there. And when there was an opening on planning commission, the mayor appointed him, and we agreed, because he shows up. You know, why would we want to appoint somebody that never shows up? And then, unfortunately, there was a death on our city council, and we appointed him to take that place. And he has served on council, and he's the current mayor with me right now. And honestly, we had some very sharp disagreements. But you know what? You get past that, especially in the second half of your life where you just don't want the drama and distraction. And when I ran, I told people, I said, I want to show people what good government looks like, working together. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of it. And I'm very excited about it. But and my son, you know, he perked up. He's been, you know, he's turning 40 this year. And he's like, what on earth can I do with the weight of the world's problems? What can I do? You know, I mean, and I think he felt quite interested in that, and like maybe that was something that he could do. There is so much power in doing something like that. There is so much power to be involved helping to make decisions in your community, whether you help influence those decisions, whether you are making those decisions, maybe, or you are supporting people. But people who show up make the decisions, and I think we need to show up more. You know, and that's the lesson for me as well. Oh, I lost my notes. Here we go again. Oops, I got my home renovations page. So how are we doing on time? Okay. I do think I've been called terminally serious. And I didn't know if that was a compliment. I didn't think it was. And then often I'll be in groups of people, kind of on a social occasion, and they're like, oh, gosh, you're surprising, because I guess I had a sense of humor or something. And they didn't see that from the work that I do, which has been nearly my entire adult life. And I have to admit that it has been very challenging to work in this field and sometimes feel positive. But I think it works better when you are joyful, and when you can be joyful, and when you can experience the joy of each moment. Like I said, I live in the community I grow up in, and I talk to everybody, everywhere I go. You know, the drugstore, the, you know, different places, getting my glasses, and, you know, the joy of those connected moments, they just feel magical to me. And I think, you know, more than anything, I think we need that joy of connection. And I think you'll probably think I'm weird, in addition to being terminally serious. But I also, I finally feel that connection with nature. You know, I had mentioned in the talk before that I finally I can have houseplants that don't die in my house. You do have to water them. Yep, you do have to water them. But, you know, I look at them, and this is kind of silly. I just call them by name. My philodendron is Philly, and my Boston fern is Mr. Boston Fern. You know, and I just say, hey, hello, how are you doing today? And then sometimes they look just a little like, oh, something's happening to that Mr. Boston Fern. Maybe I should move him over here, you know, and then he does better. And in a very strange way, that makes me feel way more connected to, you know, the energy of the universe, the energy of the plants, you know. So I'm feeling more than I have before in these very challenging and maybe even perilous times, just the connection between nature and the connection between humans and trees. You know, so I don't know, you know, if this speaks to you, but, you know, ideally, you know, if it does, you know, think of nature. You know, read Dr. Kimmerer's book. It's just, you will love it. You will love it. I'll do a virtual book check if you like. I'll pull it together into a book discussion. I love doing that. And take her lessons to heart. You know, learn about the nature in your own backyard. Learn about indigenous wisdom and how that can inform the solutions that we need right now. And you know, find a way to make that magical connection to nature. Because as she writes, you know, nature is not it. Plants are not it. Animals are not it. They are all relatives, and we call them kin. So hard to do, but we have to change the culture. We have to change the language in order to change our practices. So, and you know what? It's a hard lift, and often it still feels heavy. But we are here right now at this time in history, you know, for a reason. So anyway, thank you very much.